Welcome back to The Behavioral Profit, the show where we unpack the human behaviors that turn strategy into measurable growth. I'm your host, Debbie Longo, Executive Behavioral Coach. Each week, we unpack the mindsets, habits, and cultural shifts that turn teams into higher profit-driven powerhouses so you can lead with purpose and win with people. Today, I'm joined by Robert Kasper, IT executive with over 34 years of deep tech leadership in software, development, blockchain, AI, and decentralized systems. He currently heads technology at SlimFi while advising global organizations against blockchain strategies. Previously, he scaled Blockchain Zoo to 60 team members in under a year, pioneered blockchain-based document systems, and even consulted law enforcement agencies on intelligent technology. What sets Robert apart isn't just his technique, his belief, transparent, trust-centered behavior is the real engine of innovation. From weekly open demos to leadership vulnerability rituals, he's proven that consistent action, not titles, shape culture and performance. Welcome to the show, Robert.
Thank you very much for having me in your show. What I would like to say, the practical experience is what teaches you most beside the theory of things, and having run companies in three different continents and different cultures, you understand how to manage the people you work with in the best way. Mostly when the line of business is not the place where the big investment is a big machinery and you have Homer Simpson pushing a button, but where the product that you are selling to the client in terms of services or finished product comes from the intellect of people. So the engine of the company is people. So that's why a very particular ability in keeping everybody functional and working and motivated.
Very nice. Thank you. I like that. So I have a few questions here. The first question is how behavior-driven leadership builds decentralized teams.
I come from a generation where you go to the office every day, and there is not exception to it. To an age and a moment where, thanks also mostly to the coronavirus, we have learned to work remotely, the people that work remotely. And it is something that comes with a difficult understanding and approach to this. There is a fantastic book, which is called Remote, that starts, because we tend to look at others and think what we can do to manage these other people, but we should also look our yourself in the mirror and say what decision I made that probably bring me in failing in having a remote team. And this book says if you work with a team and you need to be there to monitor them and manage them, then you have a kindergarten. You hire the people that is not able to do this by themselves in terms of ethics. And it's actually true. There are remote teams that are tenfold more efficient than the teams that meet up at the office. Decentralizing the power of building a solution, building an application from different places when you get the right people is actually a much more functional team than when everybody has to commute and get to an office and being locked inside the office for a certain amount of hours per day. So I think that understanding and hiring the right people are the two keys that brings decentralized teams to be very efficient.
So for me, it's about the behavior, and that's what's going to produce the results, whether it's increased sales and profits or being nice to everybody or treating everybody to lunch or making the board members happy.
But sometimes the behavior has different effects with very different people as a completely different outcomes. This is exactly what I wanted to say. And I give it for granted that the behavior in terms of management, direct management, is the correct one. But if you don't have an interlocutor on the other side that appreciate, understand, sometimes when we live in countries where regulations are enforced by law enforcement, by court, etc., people behave in the same way that they are afraid to go to hell if they are a believer of a certain, and not because they have the ethics in themselves that make them behave properly, because that's the correct part in a relationship with somebody that is paying you a salary, possibly, or, you know. In countries where the law is much more important, I live in Indonesia. I cannot report an employee for misbehavior, but there is nobody even listening to me. It's just a ridiculous situation. And here you have people that just disappears with a company computer for 1 month and then come back like nothing. The methodologies of people and the behavior in having people feeling compelled to be ethical and honest are much more important and key compared to places where you cannot do those things as you have legal consequences.
The government and and society controls a lot of what we do. But the way that I teach it, it doesn't have to affect you. I might have to follow the rules and do what my boss says, be kind to people and get along with my peers and neighbors or whatever, but that doesn't have to affect me in a negative way where that's all I think about and then every problem and everything's going to become very negative. And what you were saying about the employees, they leave with the computer or whatever, even if their resources, you don't have the resources. In the United States, we have a lot, but it doesn't even matter. It helps to have the resources. And it's mainly for the company. If the person left or the person doesn't deal with it, then the person has ways out. They could go to another country. They could change their name, change their identity. Believe it or not, people do this. They'll try to do anything they can to get away with whatever bad thing they did. Those things help. In my experience, that's for the company. So the company can say, we tried. We did these things to try to help this person, which is true. But if the person is not going to seek the help and they're not going to say, I want to be honest, then nobody's going to be able to do anything. People could go to jail and then they come out and they do it all over again.
So I think that in the whole algorithm of configuration of a relationship between employees and manager, ultimately is the person that allow certain things to be. So the hiring process is the key, the success, failure of a business. Obviously, business exciting. You need to have the psychological ability to understand what excites a person rather than not. For example, in my field, strangely enough, the salary, very limited power in keeping people happy because they know they have enough to live, they don't care, but they want to work on an exciting project rather than a boring one, even for more money. And there are many other aspects, also the relationship between employees, between colleagues, and the atmosphere of the company makes a big difference. What is very funny to me is I used to hire a lot of fresh graduates. So university, mine was the first work experience. They didn't understand the difference was between life inside the company compared to the one that they end up going to after maybe resigning for whatever reason and moving up in their career. And many things are for granted when you don't have a comparison. And many end up coming back saying, oh my God, I cannot spend one more day over there. It's terrible. So it is, I think, very important. For example, the last offices I opened, quite wide, quite bigger for not so many people, so each have a lot of space. They have very different ambience. People can work on the open air in a certain context with no smoker, another place for people that smoked, and the freedom to smoke in a place because the law allow it here. Many other countries, there is no way you cannot do it. And there was a small restaurant for people to get whatever they want when they're working, video games for them to take a break, intellectual productivity. You cannot force somebody to be inspired and writing good code anytime. And the whole thing was really welcoming and allowing people to feel at home so much that many people wouldn't go back home. They just go into a small room, have a sleep, and then next day are already there because probably even at home, the place wasn't pleasant enough like it would have been at the office. It is attract people, but that's not enough. Because people can be attracted to be there and then not being ethical in other terms. In the relationship, I found employees that were saving project with the file name that belongs to a project we have, but in reality, we're working to completely different things for other clients online. What is important is to fix this thing immediately, because if it's not fixed, all the other people that realize and understand this is going on, they wonder why they are behaving properly. The other people is misbehaving and maybe bringing home twice as much as the other people at the end of the month, and they go unpunished. So this is another very important thing. There are many methods to get the insight from the company. When you are a CEO, you are a top manager, everybody's nice to you. Nobody's going to tell you what is actually happening. And it's very important to have methods and things. There are plenty of tricks that I learned in the years to achieve things in an uncommon manner.
The next question is the simple listen, mirror, act framework of sharpening emotional intelligence. Can you talk about that?
The fact that the work become more than just a place to go work and live, but more of a family, like where the moment that people care, somebody coming to work, have an accident with a motorcycle, suddenly half of the company is empty because they're at the hospital taking care of their colleagues, something like this. And this also is interesting in geopolitical aspect of where the business is. In a country like the one that I am in, or may probably work also in America, if there is a big city and a lot of people coming from the countryside to work in the city, there is a lot of people that don't have their family with them there. So they rely a lot on the relationship that they are used to having, support of the family into the company. So the company has this incredible role of taking over the aspect of the family, mostly for freshly graduated, like I used to work with. Also for people that are more aged, they automatically take their own role as a potential father, mother. So you have the HR person that goes above the aspect of HR, or even the accounting lady that becomes like the confidant for other people. So there are some dynamics that creates inside the whole team that way above the simple workplace.
The emotional intelligence part, how do you refer that to the executive or the business owner?
Depends also the people that you have in that place. I work in a large company as a consultant where the company philosophy is removing the idea of human resources, because just terminology seems like you are, when you talk about human resources, this is just people working with you, not for you, in terms of creating something. There are a lot of small subtle aspects that you don't even need to communicate officially, that you automatically feel when you enter a place where people respected, things understood, and people automatically feel like their behavior is one of the value that mark them between their community. So it doesn't matter who wrote the best code, but it's also other people's birthday and honestly cheers them up with success. It is a cascade, I think. Obviously, if the shareholders, the board of directors, the top management don't invest in this mentality, you become an enemy if you create one team that is thinking in this manner and disrupt the cold fear mongering behavior of the top of the company.
So it could be about what everybody else does and what's the norm that all the other companies do. And we want to fall in line with that. Because with a lot of companies, if they're different or if they do things that are out of the ordinary, then they could be seen as negative when really they're doing positive things.
There is the clear example of the group of wives that complain about their husband, and there is this newlywed that she's totally in love with her husband. If she doesn't talk bad about her husband, she's kicked out of the group because she doesn't comply with the methodology. If you want the cancer, they ruin governments because much corruption, much things, you enter as an honest part of the system. You will become the cancer for them and you are absolutely removed from that. I think that it is an investment. They need to start from the top to the bottom. If a company needs to change completely, they hire a consultant like it could be you in order to refresh the mode. I work in Singapore with several large banks. We're talking 10,000 people plus banks. And you will see the difference in one where people try to destroy the peers in order to go up rather than work together. And I was just a consultant from outside and I wanted to just run away from those places. And there were others where you feel loved so much that you want to cry when they deal with you, they support, they help. And I was looking and said, this is a huge difference. Both of the places were successful. But from the outside, people don't even know those things because you need them from the inside to see them. But I wonder how many people in the first bank will fall sick because of the workplace atmosphere and behavior, and how many others will do the best for their company because they feel it's a beautiful place. And for sure, a mentality like this is not born just because randomly a few hired people were positive. This is a mentality that starts from the absolute top and is shown to people. So even if somebody come in grumpy, whatever, would eventually be cured, if you want, and then join the positive behavior. Not an easy thing to do. It requires somebody that has the ability to remove the bad apples from the basket. This is the things that make me suffer the most as a manager or owner of a company, firing people. And I did fire people that were very good at their job, but they were very negative for the morale of the larger team they were working on. But what can you do until you explain it 1, 2, 3 times and people still have this issue? There is not much you can do. There was a person, a guy that was so annoying that when I want somebody to resign, I just put them to work with him in a matter of a week. People were presenting the resignation. In this country, if you fire somebody, you need to give 3 months of salary, for example. That would save me also that kind of money. A little bit evil on my side, but to say that the behavior and the personality of some people have a huge effect on others.
Next question. question is common C-suite blind spots that quietly erode trust and how to fix them.
I think that there are some people that would trick others into doing things or believing things. It is most of the time for a personal advantage and is actually the cause of failure of the other people. Many people don't even realize they are being manipulated in this manner. When you create a team, you will have somebody that has leadership in their blood. You don't need to give a title to somebody to make them leader. Some people are leaders on their own. And if these people become leader by charisma, by charm, they are negative people. This is a huge problem because how they say, lead, follow, get out of the way. If they follow, they're negative, at the end, they're going to become even pretending positive. For example, in managing communities, we have a project now. We have about 17,000 users, and most of these users were meeting up in a Discord server. Some negative leaders came up and started really dragging the community and filling it with a lot of negative news or fake news. They made the other people scared to talk. So people that are there for good intent, afraid to come out with something positive because they will be immediately killed socially by those negative leaders. The intervention has been trying to talk with these people and change them when this failed, ban them from the community. The community raised back up again in positive manner because all the people that were afraid finally can talk. So some people have a negative connotation about them. And if they are born leaders, that's a disaster.
So this is a big thing that you mentioned, because in a society, whether it's a political or even just a family member or a boss, if I want to control somebody, the object is to create fear. And that is a very easy way of controlling somebody because you have the person under your wing. So now, because the person is so afraid of you and what you might do and the things that you told them or whatever, now whatever you say, 9 times out of 10 the person's going to do. But here's the thing, whether it's fear, distrust, all these things, I don't have to think that this is going to happen, even though the people, because you're also talking about society, the workplace and stuff. Even if somebody's trying to do that to me, that doesn't matter. I don't have to be a part of that. And I can tell myself, this is not happening. I will not be fearful. I will not allow this person to make me fearful, to control and manipulate me. But if I give in and somebody creates the fear, and I allow that person to control me and I absorb the fear, then what's going to happen after that is now I lose my sense of being, right? I lose myself. And now I'm not able to control anything. And this is a big problem, especially here in the United States.
And this is applied, as you say, in politics, in society, outside the company as well, because humans are always human wherever they are located. Doesn't really matter. It is difficult, depend on the perspective. What you just explained makes sense when you're telling to the person that is getting scared and consequently reacted. But if you see from the top something happening like this below, a lot of brands are victim of those. They use child labor, food poisoned with something or whatever. And a lot of people cannot think for themselves. They cannot do the due research. Sometimes it can be true as well, this being said, but many times people are too lazy to look into these things and they just follow that. In our case, all the patrons of large chain restaurants there is all around the country, because you find a channel to talk to them, because you enter part of, I don't know, the club, whatever, and you scare those clients away. The management of the company need to intervene and do something that is radical in order to stop these things from happening. The behavior in the case of both the management, those spreading FUD, and the client that are absorbing this, that you cannot go talk one by one. The good things, when people are gullible enough to follow the negative, they're going to be gullible enough to follow the positive afterwards. So is it to fix an issue in a certain way?
Eventually they will, because people get sick and tired of being sick and tired, and they've destroyed practically everything, and they don't want to do it anymore. So the last one, a practical question you can ask today to spark openness and ownership to your team.
Do you feel can put people in a little bit of a in the corner, but the direction should be this. So well, your work appreciated enough. You think somebody noticed the positive contribution you have given is in order to have a good feedback on the morale of the people. Because being appreciated for even the little things that you do saves a marriage, saves a job, saves everything. Sometimes look at it, this thing is beautiful. Nobody cares. At the same time, had a big appreciation for what I did. Probably I'm going to put myself even more into this. I guess listening is a key. And asking questions of this kind is the key as well. So that's the direction I will go. And I did go, actually, in the past.
So that three positive environment, participating in a positive workplace, and therefore doing all of these things that we just talked about. If you're listening to this podcast, think about a problem you have and think about anything that we said is the action. By taking one of these actions, will that help you? What if you do it? And then what kind of result did you get from it? Is there anything that you would like to say in closing?
That being a manager, being a leader, being a CEO is not something that comes just with a title. If the personality is correct, sometimes it's very stressful and very lonely as well. Sometimes people think I'm going to be the CEO. The true thing is it's not like a beautiful, pleasant place to be, but for sure it gives satisfaction as well.
Some people are meant for it and some people aren't. And I think that's just, it is better. And also, some people are natural born leaders. Some people are just followers. They just want to spend their life following other people. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's just the life that they chose.
A world where everybody want to be a leader and nobody want to follow. Collapse.
Right. You couldn't function. So you need leaders and followers.
This is something that I think is important. Easier to convert the negative natural-born leader in a positive one than having the luck to find somebody already positive. Honestly positive, because faking positivity that is plenty, honestly positive.
Like the military, they'll bring you to the bottom and then they build you back up in the way that they want you to be. But it's a positive way. It's not a negative way. But there are influencers, all different people, that will bring you down and then build you back up in a negative way. So I need to know what's the difference between that. If I'm going to allow somebody, they know what they're getting. It doesn't require a lot of research. They can do the research if they want, but they know what's going to be the end result. If I go to a job and I move up to a supervisor, so now the company is training me the way that they want me to become because I have to function in their company. I have to do what they say. I have to do their job duties in order for me to be productive so the company can increase sales and profits and survive and everybody gets a paycheck. Are they doing it in a positive way or in a negative way? Because there are a lot of companies that do it in a negative way. They say negative things. They put people down. They try to control and manipulate. They take advantage of their employees, but not all companies. A lot of companies do things very positive. They have goals. They give out prizes. They give money. They motivate people.
Human health is a survival instinct that we put together since we are little kids. So what works positively for us, even if it's negative things in the past to make us succeed, try to replicate that again and again, because it's what we register in our brain, a successful methodology. Many people succeed by doing negative things. And if they become owner of a company, they make it as the company kind methodology. And they keep applying this. Maybe it all boils down to parenthood in order to educate kids succeed by positive action. And through that, probably these people become manager or company owners. They will apply this. There are some work environments that ruin people. You mentioned the army in the United States. I'm Italian. In Italy, the army used to be compulsive in the past. So it's no more mandatory. And a lot of people that went through the army came out completely ruined as humans because it was a total negative. You can have, like in Singapore, which I am nearby, I've been married for 10 years with a Singaporean lady. The army, compulsory for males, it lasts longer, but even the kids from family that are not really the best after the army, they become excellent people. So it is a blessing or based on where you are. If somebody doesn't realize in time there is a negative place, can have long-lasting damages on their persona.
You could use the military in the United States as a positive example, because when they come out, they are disciplined and their behavior and everything is completely different. That's why so many people want to go into the military, because they do a lot here for the person. The military gives people houses.
It's all the value of the person at the end of the day. And it is fantastic that this is valued a lot. As I was saying at the early beginning of our chat, if the investment of the company is $5 million machinery and you only need Homer Simpson to press the button, probably the value of the person will be not so important at the end of the day. But when you are made of people and your product, your service comes from the people that the company has, then it's obviously an investment that goes above and beyond.
If they don't care and they treat people like robots and they just want to make the money and that's all they care about, then the company's not going to go that far, because that's all they're thinking about is greed, money, and power. Eventually, even if it gets big, there comes a point where the whole thing is going to implode, only because they simply do not care about their people and they're not doing anything to boost morale at all. They're literally treating their employees like robots.
Buddy just married in my city, and from Venice, Italy, as a company that works a little bit in this way. They give job at minimum wage. They really just consume people, come, consume, and go in the next camps, because really that's not the investment on the person that they care of, but more what they can squeeze out somebody. People do things they don't like to do in all terms, and that's not really nice.
I teach people these types of things, because where do you want to be? Where do you want to work? What kind of environment do you want to work in? How is that business owner or executive or boss going to influence you? Is it going to be in a negative way, in a positive way? Is that going to benefit you? And how in the future, and what are you going to get out of that? And then what are you going to give back to that company in order for that company to benefit you from working there? That company's paying you. They're giving you a paycheck every week or every 2 weeks or whatever. You have to be able to perform, but how is that company operating? How are they treating their employees? And if the individual doesn't care and they just want to check and that's what they're doing it for, then a lot of people are not like that. I'm talking about people who are not like that, who don't want to be in that.
They are part of the problem, because they allow kind of company to exist. Like when you are desperate and you lose any interest in giving value to things. And
it takes two to tango. If one person gives it, the other person doesn't have to feed it. And if that person's not feeding it, then that breaks down the other person. And the other person stops. And I could think of 100 examples. We just talked about it. The fear and the negativity and the trust. But I have to learn how not to do that. How not to feed that, how not to allow that person to do that to me. And that's just a process. And that's what I teach also. And that's one of the reasons why I do, when I do the show, I'm doing all different people from all different industries. So I could get a variety of these industries and the way that they operate and how the behavior and all these things incorporate into that. So if somebody does a blockchain or whatever, they might say, I do this because I can operate my company this way, because it's not the industry, it's the behavior.
I was in Florida and a friend of mine had a nice restaurant, a very expensive restaurant, and everybody was paid very well working at the restaurant. And when in the evening the restaurant was closing down and the employee was leaving the restaurant, say, thank you very much for your work today to each of them. And I was like, you're paying them a salary. Why you need to say thank you? Says, it cost me nothing to say thank you. And in that moment, I realized the difference. And I was like, what, 18, 20? But I understood that it's not just because you're paying a salary then you can go sleep. There is the human value there, and a simple appreciation can make a huge difference. And that's absolutely true.
So how can they get in touch with you?
Somebody, for any strange reason listening to this, they need to prepare a decentralized system. They're welcome to contact me. It leads to my website. I just wanted to share it. I think important that some leader can think twice about how they set their mood, their company, make a difference.
I'm going to put the contact information also. Anyway, thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right, bye.